What are we talking about in this place today? Faith. Faith. And we have been learning some really important things regarding faith. Specifically, what the fundamentals of faith are. What are the ABCs? What are the foundational things so that we can see how the faith of God can start working in our life? Because in case you haven't noticed it yet, faith is a big subject in the Scriptures. When you start reading, looking for it in the Scriptures, you find out it's a big deal. Even Jesus, when he showed up on the scene, the religious leaders who were supposed to know something about the Word came to him, and Jesus called them out and said, you guys are focusing on tithing on this and doing all these little tiny things in the law, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, which are what? Justice, mercy, and faith. So faith is absolutely a weightier matter of the Scriptures. It's what's important. How we believe dictates so many things in our life. So that's why we're studying this. And we started off by talking about what a great subject it is, how big and important it is. Then we started getting into some of the fundamentals of faith, specifically what it is and what it is not. And then we got into talking about what our faith should be directed in, what is it focused on, what is our faith based upon. We spent a couple of weeks on that. And then over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about how faith comes in our life. How does it increase? And we learned that the Bible talks a lot about varying degrees of faith. And what's interesting to me, I was reminded on the way over here today of this, is that there was one point where Jesus said to his disciples, those that had left all and followed him and obviously had some faith in their life at a certain point, right? He turns to them at one point and says, why do you have no faith? So what that shows me is you can be in and out. One can be in a great place of faith one day and then be struggling with it the next. And we looked at the example of John the Baptist of that, right? About how this guy obviously believed some things. He knew some things. But then he had doubt creep into him, just like all of us can as well. So we talked about how faith comes in our life from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that talks about, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And real quickly, let me review what we talked about with this. The first thing was, faith simply comes by hearing. Faith for anything. You know, if you listen to Pat Sajak more than anything else, I've lost some of you. Do you not know who Pat Sajak is? Who's Pat Sajak? Somebody help me out. The Wheel of Fortune guy. In other words, if you're watching things on TV that aren't word-based, even though they might not be evil, even though they might not be sinful, guess what's going to happen? Your heart will mold and adapt to the thing that you're giving your attention to. So that's where faith comes by hearing comes in, is that we need to realize that whatever we're given the most attention to, that's probably what our heart's going to be full of. Amen. So then he goes on to say, so then faith comes by hearing, and then he says, and hearing by the word of God. And we answered the question, why did Paul word it this way? Why did he say, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, when he could have just said, so then faith comes by hearing the word of God? By what we would think we understand about this passage. And I believe the Lord has shown me that it has to do with the understanding that it's not good enough for us to just audibly hear something. You can sit in one of these pews for years on end and never have increase in your life, even though you're hearing the Word of God. Why? Because it doesn't just come by physically hearing something. It comes by hearing it with the ears of your heart. So when we hear it on the outside and we hear it on the inside, then faith can come in our lives. Have you guys ever noticed this, is that when you talk like this, when I'm listening to myself talk right now, I sound totally different than when I listen to maybe a tape or a video or something like that of my voice. Have y'all ever noticed that you're like, ooh, do I really sound like that? Have you ever wondered why that is? Well, I'm going to give you a little trayology this morning. This is what I believe it is, because you got to understand, you've got ears here, but you've got ears here too. So when I'm talking right now, what I believe I'm primarily hearing in my voice is with the ears of my heart, which sounds a lot better than hearing it with the ears of my head. So I have a little bit more sympathy of what y'all are listening to right now. Right? But the fact is, the real you that I talked about earlier that's on the inside of you has ears. It has eyes. I mean, your spirit man basically has fit this like a glove, hallelujah. And that is what you've got to hear with and embrace it. And then when that happens, guess what happens? Faith will come. No doubt about it. Faith will increase in our lives when we hear with both sets of ears. And then we talked about last week what the phrase of the Word of God means. And we found out it doesn't just refer to the Bible. Now, it can refer to the Scriptures. I think that's one of the best things we should be listening to get faith in. But we found out when we broke these words apart, the phrase the Word of God literally means words that are spoken about Christ. Amen. And so we answered the question then, where did all of those in Jesus' ministry get their faith from? When they came, and you remember all these people that came and by their faith they were healed? They weren't getting it from the synagogues, I can promise you that. There was not a spirit of faith that was coming in the reading of the law from a lot of those religious leaders because they didn't believe themselves. Right? So it didn't happen from church, and most of them didn't get it because they heard Jesus preach either. A lot of the people that came to him to be healed, you have no evidence that they even heard him speak. They just heard about the Christ. And when they heard about all the things he was doing, all the things he was saying, they started believing things like whoever Jesus would touch would get healed. Whoever would touch him would get healed. And that's where their faith came from. Showing us that the way faith comes in our life is by hearing what people say about Jesus. And guess what the good news is? You can be the one that says something about Jesus. Amen. When you go and you tell about what Jesus has done in your life and how he changed you, how he lifted you up out of the pit, and you start testifying to the grace of God, guess what's going to happen? As you testify, as you are a witness, then a conviction can take place in that court of law. And what is that? The conviction of the Holy Spirit. See, I think a lot of times the reason why the Holy Spirit isn't convicting a lot of people is because there's not enough witnesses. There's not enough testimony. But like we learn in a court of law, man, that's what we got to do to get a conviction, right? We got to have some proof. We got to have some evidence. And a lot of that comes through the mouth of a witness. And we are the ones that have been privileged to be that witness to bring faith into people's lives, whether it's speaking the Word of God or what God's Word has wrought in our lives. Can I get an amen? So this is what we camped on, talking about this, but now we're on the closing stretch. We're on the closing stretch regarding the fundamentals of faith, and we are now going to head into talking about how faith functions. How does faith work in our lives? Because like we talked about earlier in this series, there's a lot of misconceptions about how faith operates. So we're going to get into what the Scriptures say regarding how faith works in our lives. And today I'm going to give you what I consider to be the best way to describe how faith works in every area of our life. And it's in answering the question, how does salvation work? How does one get saved? How did you get saved? Well, the Scriptures teach us some very important things regarding how salvation comes into our lives. And we're going to answer four different questions, all right? So for all you note takers, I want you to write this down. Four questions we've got to answer today. In 35 minutes. Number one, is it God's will for everyone to be saved? The obvious answer is yes. Number two, what are we saved by? What are we saved by? And what is it? Grace. And the third question is, what are we saved through? Faith. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's going to answer all these questions. And then number four, I'm going to go back and read these questions again to you, or quote them again. I don't have any notes today. Number four, is saving faith alone? Is saving faith alone? In answering the four questions, is it God's will for everyone to be saved? What are we saved by? And what are we saved through? And is saving faith alone? When we answer these questions, you're going to find out clearly how faith is supposed to work in every area of our lives. So let's go in our Bibles to James chapter 5. James, the fifth chapter. The reason why I like to use the example of salvation to describe how everything is received in our life by faith, it's because when you look the word salvation or saved up, the Greek words sozo, which is the word for saved, and the word soterion, which is the word for salvation, we're talking about in the Greek New Testament. When you look it up, you come to find out something really interesting about the word saved. That they don't just refer to what we consider to be our born-again experience, when our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the thing that secures our eternal destination, as I like to say, our get-out-of-hell-free card. That's what most people think of when they hear the word saved or salvation. But when you look the word up, you know what you find out? It means a whole lot more than just that. Now, it means that, and thank God for that, but it also describes healing, deliverance, protection, preservation, or to be rescued, right? How many of you could stand for the Lord to rescue you out of something today, or to heal you, or to protect you, or to deliver you? Well, that's all encompassed in the words for salvation or saved. Amen. And I'll show you right here in James chapter 5, because I could take you through a bunch of scriptures that would prove this to you, but this is, I think, a good one. Of course, this is the passage of scripture that talks about if anyone is sick among you. In fact, in verse 13, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Right? Notice he didn't say when he said, is anyone among you suffering? Let him call other people to pray for them. Right? What does it say? Let him pray. So when we're going through something, then it's us that needs to be the one praying for ourselves. And then he says, is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. See, because the example I like to use from this is, how many of you this week got happy about something and then you called all these prayer lines and said, hey, sing a song for me because I'm happy? You don't do that. You sing. Well, it's the same thing as when you're suffering, what do? You pray. And then he talks about here, though, if somebody is sick in the following verse, verse 14, and it's really talking about, when you look this word up, it's talking about a sickness to where you need somebody else's help. We're talking about an intense type of suffering here. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Right? And then what does it say? And the anointing oil will save the sick. Is anybody awake this morning? Is that what that verse said? No, it said, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. So it's the faith, it's not the object that we're using, the contact point, if you would. It's the faith that brought what? A saving of the sick. And that's what I wanted you to see. Notice the word saves used there. And guess what? It's the word sozo. The word that's commonly used to describe what you and I experienced when we made Jesus our Lord and Savior. But it's obvious from this passage of Scripture, this isn't talking about somebody getting born again. What's it talking about? Somebody being healed. It's the prayer of faith that will heal the sick. So you see this oftentimes in the Scriptures, even in the ministry of Jesus, where Jesus would turn to somebody that came and they got their miracle from him, and Jesus would turn around and said, your faith has made you whole. Guess what that word for whole is? It's the word sozo. That's a word that's used for saved commonly in the New Testament. And it's obvious what he's talking about. Being made physically whole, physically well. So my whole point in using these examples to you today is you need to be able to see that salvation describes more than just getting into heaven. It's being healed in your body. So it's to be understood that if salvation means all these different things, then it's obtained the same way with all these different things. So that's why answering the question about how one is saved in their life is a great way to answer the question of how faith works and functions in our life. Amen. So let's answer these questions now. The first one was what? Is it God's will to save everyone? Well, I can take you through scriptures, but I don't think I'll take the time today. But there's plenty of scriptures that make it absolutely clear it is God's will that all be saved, that all come to repentance. Every person that's ever lived on this planet, from Adolf Hitler to you, God willed to be saved. Amen. And so what's so important about this, that if you see that and you understand that, that's where faith can come. How many of you have ever heard of the book called Christ the Healer? Christ the Healer by F.F. Bosworth. Really awesome book. If you want to learn something about healing and get some fundamentals on the subject of healing, I highly encourage that book. But he makes a statement in that book that I love. I've quoted it many times myself. I've heard it many different times. He said this, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. In other words, the only way to even begin to enter into faith is that you got to know what God wants. Because you can't just have faith in any willy-nilly thing you want to. You know, there's a lot of people that have taken faith principles and they start going around saying, well, I'm going to believe God that that person be my wife. And she's married. How many of you know that isn't biblical? It's wrong. But there's people that have just taken this. No, it's got to be God's will. So you got to find out what God's will is. And so when it comes to salvation, the person that's going to be born again must come to the knowledge that God wants them to be saved. There can't be this question of, well, I don't know if I am part of this party or not. I don't know if I hadn't been bad enough to where God would actually forgive me of my sins. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how bad you've been, how many sins you've committed, and I can promise you in here, I doubt too many of you have committed more sins than I have. I don't know. We might be able to have a little bit of a arm wrestling contest on that or something like that, but I'm going to tell you, I was pretty bad. I've made some royal mistakes, horrible things in my life, yet the grace of God was sufficient. It was enough. So it is God's will to save everyone. So you got to be establishing that. And then let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look into a very familiar passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 2 that kind of explains a little bit of the process of this salvation in our lives. We're going to answer the question now, what are we saved by and what are we saved through? This is where I get this from. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, I don't know about y'all, but man, if you can see my Bible right now, man, look at all them colors. Look at all those underlined words. Look at all the notes written in the margin. And you know why that is? Because Ephesians is loaded, baby. There is so much meat in this particular. We're talking a lot about meat today, aren't we? Getting hungry up here, praise God. And it starts off in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, talking about our deplorable situation that every person born in the flesh ever was in, that you were bound by your flesh, you were under the god of this world. The prince of the power of the air was driving you, and every single one of us were in a hopeless, helpless situation. But then we come to two words in verse 4, and I love this. But God. Our High Point t-shirt, say it on the back, praise God. But God, hallelujah. And what I love about this is how faith talks. Amen. It's okay to acknowledge the bad situation or the bad things that are in somebody's life or whatever, right? It's okay to say, well, I feel bad today. My back hurt, my knee hurts. But God. But God is bigger. But God's my healer. But God will deliver me. But God is my salvation. Hallelujah. And that's the way you got to talk. And that's the way the apostle of faith himself is talking here. So he says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us. In other words, it's the whole reason you even got saved. It's because he loved you enough to do it. He didn't do it because he felt a responsibility as your creator. Well, I just pity him. I guess I should do something. No, God loves you passionately, fervently, and he motivated him to give the greatest gift this world has ever seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sent him for you so that you could come into his family and he could be close with you again. That's what these scriptures are teaching us. And then he says, yes, amen. Hey, praise God. That's a good place to say amen. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together in Christ. By grace you have been saved. and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's the gospel in a nutshell. But notice what he says now in verse 8. For, notice these words, by grace you have been saved through faith. So there we have the answer to our next two questions. What are you saved by? Well, this scripture says you're saved by grace. And then the next question, what are you saved through? You're saved through faith in that grace. Amen. And see, the grace aspect is really important. As important as faith is, okay, what's arguably even more important than faith is grace. Because if you don't understand grace, if you don't know what Christ Jesus has bought for you and freely given you, what are you going to have faith in? Amen. And see, this is what we're basing it on. It's what has God said is mine? What has God already done for me? And when I know that, when I come to answer that question, it's by grace, hallelujah, then guess what? I can have some faith in that because he's already done it. And this is where then faith comes in. Because again, there are a lot of people that will take certain scriptures in the New Testament regarding the grace of God and they pervert it. I've heard some of them preach. I've been around some of it. And there are absolute perversions, universalists out there that believe from certain verses that Jesus Christ came to pay the bill for all the sins of this world, so therefore everyone's saved. How many of you know we got plenty of scriptures that do not substantiate that at all? Now, all the sins of the world were paid for 2,000 years ago, but that doesn't mean it's been received by everybody. And how do we receive it? You should know the answer. Through faith. So one must believe in order to experience that salvation in their lives. Amen. And then notice what he says. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. So here's a good question for us this morning, and I don't necessarily know the answer to this. I think it applies to all these things. But when he says, and that not of yourselves, what is the that he's referring to there? You could make a case that the that is not of ourselves is the saved part. The salvation is not of ourselves. You could make a case that the grace that enabled us to be saved is not of ourselves. How many of you know God's the one that provided the grace? You didn't. But you could also make a case that the faith, even the faith that we're saved through by grace, is not of yourselves either. And the reason why this is really important to understand is because a problem sometimes, another fallacy of faith, if you would, is that a lot of people put too much faith in their faith. And it causes them to be lifted up, haughty. And I'm not looking at anybody when I say this. I'm not even thinking of anybody in this room. But how many of you have ever either said or heard somebody else say before, when we start praising God for a great thing that happened, somebody getting healed or a movement of God or whatever it might be, that we might say, yeah, we've been praying for that. Now, does the prayer have something to do with seeing these things? Absolutely. Does the faith have something to do? Yes. But where is our emphasis? Is it in my prayer, or I believed for that? Or is it in God was gracious and God provided that? See, this goes in line with what we're talking about on Wednesday evenings. Pastor Robert led you astray this morning. He said that we're studying humility. We're actually talking about pride. Amen. I told him when they showed up, I said, I tricked you. You thought you'd come in to learn about humility. No, we're talking about pride today. That stinky, nasty, filthy stuff that's in all of us, right? But this is one of the areas that it can be in. I've seen so many people that they might be well-meaning in this and that, but their faith is in what they do, right? And so this is a really important part to knowing how faith works, is that it is the vehicle. It is what can bring this salvation in our life, but you always got to keep at the forefront of everything that it's because God is good, because God's gracious. It's not because of my great faith. Because what this also does is it condemns people. When things don't happen in their life, they think they don't have faith and they get all condemned and the devil comes and pours it on them because they don't have faith. Get your focus on the grace and then the faith comes. It's like I like to say it, and I've probably already said it in this series. It's not how great your faith is. It's how great your faith is in a great God. It's where is the object of your faith. Get your focus on Him, off yourself completely. And then he says, and it's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. But this is what I really want to focus on today and end with today, because this is a really important point. How does the faith then work? If it is through faith that we are saved, the last question was what? Is saving faith alone? Right? And I'm going to take you through plenty of different scriptures today that will illustrate and absolutely substantiate to you how faith, listen to this, is seen and how faith is heard. And if one is in faith, you'll see it. People will see it. And if one is in faith, they'll also hear it. Praise God. Go over to James chapter 2. James, the second chapter. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited about learning how faith works. I don't know about you. It's important because this is how we receive everything from the Lord. I appreciate that charity amen that came from the back. Thank you, Aubrey. Appreciate that. Would to God, I'd at least get half a dozen people. Amen! I'm excited too, Pastor. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Now, look here in James chapter 2. Now, this is a very familiar passage, I think, to a lot of us, where James came on the scene and started talking about how faith without works is dead. You ever heard that before? Did you know the great Martin Luther, the author of the Protestant Reformation, who got the revelation that, man, it is not by works that we are saved. It's only by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's what the Lord spoke to him. Did you know that even this man wanted to have the book of James thrown out of the Bible? You know why? Because he couldn't reconcile how James was not contradicting what Paul wrote about being saved by faith alone. And while I'm not even going to tell you who made this quote, because I don't believe most of the things that he has known for, but I love one quote. Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. Faith alone saves, but saving faith is never alone. Do you follow what I'm saying there? It is solely by faith that you receive salvation in your life, but when you've really got faith, there are corresponding actions that come along with it. Amen. And that's what we see here in James chapter 2, and that's what James was talking about. Because what James was talking about that was different than what Paul was talking about, Paul was talking about the works of the law do not save you. James is talking about the works of faith, as Paul coined them in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, I believe it is. Talks about the works of faith. What's the difference between the works of the law versus the works of faith? Glad you asked. The works of the law are anything anyone does to try to get righteousness, acceptance from God, being loved by God, or being blessed by God. Did you hear what I said? It's anything anyone does to try to get this. What's the works of faith, though? The works of faith are anything anyone does because they've already received righteousness, blessing, and the favor and grace and love of God. There's a big difference there. And see, the point that I'm making here is this, is that this is how faith works in everything. Because we have experienced many different faith failures in the church in the past several decades, obviously, as the message of faith has come out. And this is what has happened. I'll give you kind of like an example. A person hears about faith and they start believing that, man, I can receive what I need from God by faith. And so because of that, then they start doing things that they hear somebody else has done, like throwing their medicine away, stepping on their glasses, all the different things they do because they're trying to be in faith. How many of you know that is no different than somebody that's not saved saying, oh, well, this is what Christians do, so I guess what I'll do is this. I will start doing these righteous deeds, or I'll start going to church, or I'll start giving to the church, and I'll stop doing all these things. How many of you know your actions and your behavior do not save you? So it works this way with faith for anything else. Our actions, our works are not what brings the thing into our life. However, if one is in faith, then the works or actions will come. It's like I've had people come to me, and you know, we do healing school here, and we talk about some of these things, and you'll have people say, well, if I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, then should I throw my medicine away? And you know what my response is? If you don't need it, throw it away. I'm not telling them to throw it away. But what I'm telling them to do is, if you're in that place to where you know that you know that you know, you remember being convinced and persuaded about it, and you're absolutely solid in this, I know what's mine, then the corresponding actions are more like works of faith, not like works of the law that I'm trying to do something to get something. Doing something to get something never works. Not in the kingdom of God. So I've got to learn to enter into, all right, I get so convinced and persuaded because I know what God's will is for me. I know what His grace has provided for me. And because of that, now I have actions that go along with that. And there might be a bunch of people around me that don't understand any of it. But all those people that got healed in the ministry of Jesus did some wild, radical things too, didn't they? Amen. And guess what? Jesus would turn around and recognize their faith for their healing. So look here in this passage of Scripture. Faith without works is dead. And it says, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. The essential thing that he is saying right here is this, is that it's not good enough to just go around saying you have faith without any actions along with it. Right? Because then it can't be seen. So what are we seeing here? Faith, while it doesn't see, it can be seen. Amen. One of my favorite examples of this, let's put that passage up in Mark 5, I believe it is, Debbie. You remember the story of the King James says, the man born by four. That doesn't mean that he had four parents. That means that four people carried him to this house. And you remember this? And they show up at the door, and guess what happens? All those filthy, stinking religious leaders had taken up all the best seats in church. They couldn't even get in. And so then what did they do? Well, if they would have been like most Christians today, they'd have shown up, places packed, can't get in, and they'd leave saying this, well, it must not have been God's will for you, Mac. I'm sorry, but we can't even get in, so maybe God just did not want you to receive your healing today. People believe this stuff, and they take circumstances as proof of whether it's God or not. Not these guys. They sit there, and they're like, Mac, do you trust me? Because I'm looking up there on the top of that house right there, and I think if we can get up there and remove some of the tiles from this thing and break open that roof, we can let you down in there. And so Jesus is in there teaching. And what's interesting about the whole passage, you know what it is? Jesus is sitting there teaching, and in Luke's gospel, it says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Not the ones that were about to come through the roof, necessarily. All them religious leaders that were there. But nobody was getting healed. Why? Because it's got to be received by faith, through faith. Amen. So nothing's happening, and I'm sure Jesus is just struggling. I've had this before. Oh my gosh, I have preached in some places before. Not here. Not at High Point Church, of course. But there's a lot of places that I've gone before and stood behind the pulpit, and I am up to here in unbelief and religion, and it's just difficult. One particular time I'm thinking of right now, I was in India preaching at a pastor's conference. Oh my gosh. It probably felt a lot like what Jesus was experiencing that day. And I had this one Indian guy that would travel with me. His name was Trinity Elisha. You know what I love about the Indian culture? When they get born again, they change their names. And it becomes total biblical names. Abraham, Moses, and all kinds of awesome stuff. Well, Trinity Elisha, sweetest guy, was there. And we go back to our room afterwards, and I was preaching, and I got done, and I was like, I looked at him, and I was like, Trinity, there ain't no, this is terrible. This is just religion and horrible here. And I think I might have made a mistake of even accepting this invitation and being here. And he looks at me with that sweet face and he goes, they deserve the gospel too. I said, I repent. Praise God. You're right. They need it too. Well, Jesus went in all the synagogues preaching all the time, didn't he? A lot of those guys weren't believing on him. They were sitting there taking notes of how they can find out what they were doing wrong. I get tickled sometimes that, you know, I'll preach a message like this. None of you are going to do it today. I can promise you now. But people will catch me, and then they'll tell me one thing that I said wrong. Like Thursday morning, I was teaching at Healing School, and I was trying to say Hagar, and I kept saying Rahab. Easy to make mistakes, trust me. Well, anyway, so it's getting in, focusing on the right thing. So Jesus, back to Jesus in the house. Jesus is in the house. And he's sitting there preaching and teaching to them. And all these guys are sitting there, and he's up to here in unbelief. And then all of a sudden, Jesus sitting there teaching them, he starts having dust fall on his shoulder. And he looks up, and this guy's getting let down. Hey, Jesus, sorry to interrupt your teaching meeting right now, but we got something we need. And the scripture says, when Jesus saw their faith, what does that teach us? Faith can be seen. How is it seen here? By their actions. Now, they weren't aping and imitating somebody else, trying to pretend like they were in faith. They did the things they did because they did believe. And guess what? Dude walks out healed completely. And you will too if the Lord sees your faith. Amen. And a lot of times will be considered radical. You might be doing something. Like I was talking about blind Bartimaeus on Thursday morning. Remember old blind Bartimaeus? Well, he's healed Bartimaeus now, glory to God. But he's sitting out there and he hears about Jesus going by. And what's he do? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he kept crying out because the Lord kept going. And everybody's trying to shut him up. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. You're disturbing church right now. Hush! You're getting on everybody's nerves. And he just kept crying out. Didn't matter. And then the Lord stopped. Now, I'm telling you, you study all these accounts, which we're going to do in the Gospels, and you find out real quick, man, these guys did radical things to get the thing they needed from the Lord. And it was because they believed. So faith can be seen, but faith can also be heard. Hallelujah. Faith, you've heard us say this before, I'm sure, faith is voice activated, baby. It is absolutely something that you can hear and it is voiced. And it's not difficult. You can hang out with me for a week. I can hang out with you for probably a couple of hours and find out real quick where your faith is at because of what you say, because of what I say. Amen? Out of the abundance of the heart, what does the scripture say? The mouth leaketh. That's Trey's translation. What does that mean? The things that just slip out, right? And so it's, I am saying, and I'll probably save this for next week and we'll get more into this about hearing faith and the example of faith like that, but when I am in faith, and it's in me in abundance, I will say things. That's one of the reasons we do these faith-filled professions. And you know, and I'm not naive enough to know, to think that every time we do that, that every person in there is saying them in faith. But my hope and desire and prayer for you and myself is that we would get to the place to where we believe those things so much that when we say it, it is being said in the right spirit. It is being said in the spirit of faith. And I'll end today with this. You know what the Lord told me one time about confessions and the words of your mouth? I'll share that with you in a minute, but there has been a lot of misuse and abuse regarding confessions, professions, and speaking words out of your mouth. I know that. There is a lot of people that have twisted them and used them for selfish gain, and there's all kinds of stuff. And because of that reason, a lot of faith preachers are considered blab it and grab it, confess it and possess it type preachers. Many of us have heard a lot of those different things. But what I want to caution people with is that while there are misuses and abuses of this particular thing, there is a whole lot in the Scriptures about the power of our words and speaking faith-filled words. A lot. In fact, the two wisest men that ever walked on this planet, you could make an argument on one of them, but not on the other one. What I consider to be the two wisest men that ever walked on this planet, Jesus and Solomon, they spoke more about the power of our words than just about anybody. So what that tells me is a wise person watches their tongue and knows how important it is what they speak out. Amen. So there are all kinds of people that have abused and misused these different things. But this is what the Lord told me that I want to show you how it works in with this whole faith and salvation thing. He told me this. He said, Trey, you will know when you're truly speaking a faith-filled confession when it doesn't feel like a confession. Did you follow what I said there? You will know you're truly speaking what he considers to be a faith-filled confession when you're speaking something in faith when it doesn't feel like a confession. You know what I mean? It's real easy sometimes. It'd be like this. Somebody, oh my gosh, I'm feeling so sick. I'm hurting. And oh my gosh, my stomach. And then you're going around saying, oh man, my stomach hurts. I think I might be coming down with something. Oh. That's not what I meant. By his stripes I am healed. You see what I'm saying? They catch themselves. But no, this is the problem. The first thing that comes out is more than likely what somebody believes. And it's not just good enough to try to correct the words. And a lot of times the only reason why people do that is because they don't want other people to think they're not in faith. So they're careful about what they do and say around other church folk. Right? And what is that? That's that filthy, stinking pride stuff again. No, the key is this, getting something so hidden in your heart, believing it so much, that, listen to this, it's just, all you got to do is just get poked by the devil a little bit, and then whoosh, the word comes out. Woof, the truth comes out. The automatic thing that comes out when you get squeezed. Joyce Meyer was coined with this statement. I love this one. You'll know what your fruit's made of when it gets squeezed. Right? Anybody that knows me knows that my favorite fruit is watermelon. And I still have not come to perfect the picking out of the best watermelon. I've heard about the thumping thing and looking for the little yellow side. I've heard all that, but I still sometimes drop the ball and miss it. But every once in a while, I hit it. And when I cut into that watermelon, I get the best one that'll make you slap your mama in between bites, praise God. So good, right? But see, I've cut into some watermelons before that weren't so good. And my point is this. I'm not just trying to tell you what my favorite fruit is. I'm trying to tell you, when you get cut, what's on the inside is what will be seen and heard. This is why giving our complete and total attention to what God has said, what God is doing, and you keep that ever before you so it's hidden in your heart, so that when the devil does come and he throws something on you, you got symptoms, circumstances, and these things happen in your life, that then your response is automatically, by his stripes I am healed. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. First thing that comes out, instead of, oh no, what are we going to do? My first response is, God will provide. Some of you know, I've done the same thing with you. Call up, Pastor, I just got this bad report. I just said that the Lord will provide. First thing that comes up, and that's why being prepared for the day of adversity by hiding things in your heart is so important. Praise God. I'll close with this. I promise. You ever watch when they do the little drawings in the lottery? You know, they got those little clear cylinder things and they got those little ping pong balls with the little numbers on it. I know why you're not nodding your head, because nobody plays the lottery in here. But you at least know what I'm talking about, right? And all those little ping pong balls are going around. They got that vacuum thing going, the little airs. And they got tons of them in there. And then when they take that little cap thing off, poof, it pops up, right? You know what I'm talking about? This is what the analogy the Lord gave me before on that. Do you know that if they only had like five of them in there, that when they pulled that off, you might be sitting there and waiting a few minutes before one connects and comes up through that area? It's the same thing with hiding God's word in your heart. The more of this you hide in this, the quicker and more efficiently the Holy Spirit will be able to bring it to this when all of this is going on. That's how you get prepared and seasoned for the day of battle. So next week we'll get into talking about how faith is heard, more than likely, and how the confession of our mouth and the believing of our heart is what will yield salvation in our lives. Not just getting saved and going to heaven. I'm talking about anything you need in your life, whether it's physical healing, financial prosperity, whatever it is in your life. God will show you how in his words it brings the fruit in our life. Come on up, Judy. Let's stand on our feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm looking at a bunch of people in strong faith. Yes. People that are proficient in faith. And I love it. And Jesus looked at him and he said, man, all you got to do is have just this faith. A little mustard seed. And you can move mountains. You can uproot trees. You can do all this different stuff. If we learn how it works, praise God. And it's through being seen and being heard. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we thank you today for your precious and powerful Holy Spirit, that Jesus was in the house today, honored by our praise. And we thank you today. Testimonies will come forth from today. Testimonies from both just what experience somebody experienced in their life through worship, through testimonies of what people heard in his word. So as you walk these things out, be looking for it. Head stretched out, eyes looking up, and know that your salvation is on its way. If you'll look for it, if you'll believe for it, if you'll expect it with all your heart, you can receive and walk in that today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.